Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Why it matters.
Money FM 89.3, it's the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. Time now for Why It Matters. Approximately $2.5 trillion US dollars is expected to be transferred to the next generation by around 70,000 high net worth individuals in Asia Pacific. All this over the next decade. Millennials and Gen Z, they're projected to dominate 70% of the global luxury market spenders by the year 2025. So how is this set to impact the region's luxury retail landscape? And of course, consumer spending behavior. Well, WGSN is one of the world's leading consumer trend forecasters, and they've launched their white paper titled Rebuilding Loyalty. It's supported by renowned developer New World Development. And the white paper demonstrates how these exemplify tomorrow's luxury behaviors in Asia, reflecting a transformational shift in consumer sentiment. So we're going to find out more about this white paper. On the line with me is Jess Tang, senior consultant of APEC at WGSN. Jess, good afternoon. How are you?
Very good. Hi, Elliot. Thank you so much for having me on this hot summer day in Singapore. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, it is too warm. It is too warm indeed. Never mind. Let's put that aside and talk about this Rebuilding Loyalty white paper. What was the aim here? What was the methodology?
Yeah, so in terms of the methodology, we are utilizing our proprietary research. So first of all, we identify the stepic drivers, so as in the macro forces driving consumer sentiment. So in this white paper, it's all about the consumer sentiment, the consumer needs and behaviors. And through that, we have identified a few consumer profiles to look at in Asia. So that would provide really valuable insights for how luxury retailers and brands should operate in the region.
Okay, so it does deep dive into luxury consumer profiles. Tell us a little bit about how this relates to consumer trends.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I can talk a little bit about the luxury consumer profiles that we have identified together with New World Development in the white paper. So first of all, in Asia, we're seeing, you know, mindful luxurians, and as you know, the name of this profile suggests, this kind of profile is reflective. But what they're really looking for in luxury is a moment to pause and re-examining their own values, being a little bit more intentional about what they buy.
And when you say intentional about what they buy, I'm sorry, I can't help it but wonder, does this have to do with, I mean, in recent times we've had, say, social media sort of postings about how some companies are unethical, some luxury brands are unethical. Is there a relation there?
Yeah, so I would say how we see this is we're kind of seeing a shift in the way how consumers want to spend and also how to spend. Okay. So basically the gist of it's not really just about buying the logo and the brand name. It's actually a response to the economic uncertainty, and consumers are being a little bit more intentional about, you know, how they spend, what they want to spend on. And this really goes beyond, you know, the brand name, the exclusivity, and it goes deeper than that. So for example, right, so there's a greater appreciation of meaning and culture behind the luxury experience, and consumers will be valuing, you know, what kind of personal growth, you know, the luxury experience or product is bringing for them, and having these moments of discovery and learning. So all in all, it's all about that additional deeper meaning behind luxury.
We've had a couple of economic crises, and a lot of the times you would have comments like, well, the luxury industry doesn't get affected by this. Considering what you guys have just discovered and put together in this white paper, is it safe to say that that's no longer the case, that the luxury industry does get impacted by this?
Yeah, so in terms of how the luxury industry is being impacted by this, so we're definitely seeing one of the profiles who we call the self-rewarders. So it's not that definitely the economic uncertainty and the crises is impacting how consumers spend, but at the same time, in Asia, there's a cohort of consumers who are still very ambitious in work and life. They're full of optimism and hope for the future. Right. And basically, they're spending like an act of self-care. They're still pampering themselves, you know, to the big and small luxuries. But all in all, they want to buy to feel good during uncertain times.
So millennials and Gen Zs, where do they fall in that bracket? How are they driving this transformation?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. Young shoppers, because all brands love young consumers in Asia. and at WGSN, we conduct a lot of focused research on the Gen Z post-90s in Asia for different categories and eight industries. So coming back to the four profiles, while we haven't really assigned an age group or a age range to any of the profiles, some behaviors will be a little bit more aligned with younger consumers, for example, right? So looking at the young change makers, the fourth profile that we have proposed, they're really changing the game. So for example, for the fashion conscious change makers, there's a growing interest in thrifting, in vintage, and that's driving the growth of new markets, as in the secondhand market, while helping them make a lifestyle statement. And then at the same time, I mentioned about the self-rewarders who are kind of eager for these upgrades and kind of feel-good moments. And this is really driving brand innovation and new payment models like buy now but pay later models and seamless digital shopping journeys and really helping them easily move from offline to offline. So we're still seeing a lot of innovation and a lot of new desires and changing how brands react to the market.
Very interesting. I want to expand a little bit on what you were talking about, those two points there. Where do the smaller brands come into play? Or if you don't mind me saying, where do the boutique brands? Because I've noticed as well with this generation, the Gen Z and millennials, right? They like a certain bespoke about the items that they buy. So usually these brands may not be huge branded luxury names, but the costs of the items are still quite high. Do they play a part in this ecosystem?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the kind of the ways conventionally how media and brands look at Asia is often defined by, you know, as the kind of the big market, the big consumer market with big market potential. But really, a lot of things are driven by the small disruptors, the small brands, the small influencers. And because this is really aligned with a growing shift in Asia where there's a focus from me, you know, pure self-expression, all about myself, to we, so more about the community, more about our culture, our heritage. So a lot of the brands who are conventionally smaller in size, a little bit more locally grounded, they're often a little bit more authentic about their purpose in their locality. And that's really driving a lot of change and really attractive to one of the profiles called the mindful luxurians. They are buying luxury. They're all going for the luxury experiences, but there needs to be a purpose for the community, purpose back to the local community. So yeah, well, I do agree that a lot of the innovation is driven by, you know, the smaller guys.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. Jess, I want to talk a little bit about WGSN's collaboration efforts. You've got support from New World Development and K11 Group Bridge Trend. This is to do with forecasting retail development, transforming concepts into reality. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, for sure. That is a really successful collaboration with New World Development. And we're really happy with the results, and particularly because New World Development Group, they are a really prominent player in the retail industry in the region. And the collaboration has provided us with a lot of examples of how specifically K11 Group and New World Development, how they connect with consumers in Asia, and particularly through their cultural commerce model where they blend art, culture, retail, leisure, and hospitality all together. So really great examples in the white paper, and we're really happy with the results.
I mean, it's great when you look at trend forecasting to have collaborations and all that, a lot of perspectives put into one. And that's for a very layman observation, which is mine. I do wonder, though, with you guys having 25 years of extensive experience in trend forecasting, how do you see the future as far as WGSN helping businesses understand consumer behaviors better? You see AI getting involved, perhaps? I bet you've been asked this before.
Yeah, for sure. I think these days, especially it's a challenging times for a lot of brands, and given, you know, the uncertain economic backdrop you mentioned about and shifting consumer priorities that everyone's looking at. So WGSN's role really is to provide the insights about local culture, local zeitgeist. To put it simply, it's really looking at the spirit of the times, you know, in Asia. And through that, we help brands find a meaningful voice in the region. So to help them, you know, really have a meaningful vision, you know, what they can do to bring a positive, tangible and intangible meaning to Asian consumers. So we're really excited to be part of the journey with a lot of the brands in the region.
All right. I've been speaking with Jess Tang, who is Senior Consultant of APAC at WGSN. Thank you so much for your time, Jess.
Thank you so much, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.